The Los Angeles Lakers became the third lower-ranking team that upset the higher-ranking opponents in the NBA first-round playoffs this season, as they ended the Grizzlies' campaign in six games. It is also the sixth time in league history for a conference number 7 seed to beat the number 2 seed in the first round. Welcome back to CGTN Sports Talk. I am your host, Li Xiang. Before we begin, I wanted to quote the famous saying of Rudy Tomjanovich: "Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion." He said it on winning the second straight NBA championship as the head coach of the Houston Rockets in 1995. It's true that the Lakers are not the defending champions this season. They won it in 2020. But fairly speaking, since then, they have never been in their best or even normal form until the end of this season. They had to come to the playoffs via the play-in tournament because the team went through way too many difficulties and have switched on their winning mode until the trades they made in February. And of course, the Lakers' two best players, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, both have a heart of a champion. Davis' advantage in this series is obvious. From Ja Morant, Desmond Bane to Jaren Jackson Jr., none of the Grizzlies was able to challenge him alone without being taught not to do so again. He has averaged 4.3 blocks per game, and that doesn't count the Grizzlies' missed shots because of his deflections or those moments when they decided not to shoot after seeing Davis dive toward them. Davis' offensive form has not been as consistent as his defensive performance in this series, but he made the Grizzlies pick their poison. Either they watch Davis dominate the paint or have Jackson Jr. on him at the cost of binding their defensive spine to an off-ball finisher. The Grizzlies made different choices in different games but realized in the end, whatever Jackson can do defensively, Davis can do it too and only better. When it comes to offense, Jackson has way too much to learn before he can catch up with Davis. Davis is not the only reason that the Lakers managed to maintain solid defense through the series. LeBron has been heavily underrated on this front, and numbers don't reflect all of his contributions. I remember reading from one of my favorite basketball writers that even when he is 38 years old, LeBron is still a top offensive player who averages 28.9 points and 6.8 assists per game during the regular season. But what if he changes style playing from doing everything on the offensive end to focusing on the defensive end like Tim Duncan did after 2008? That's exactly how LeBron performed against the Grizzlies. In order to set Davis free so he could focus on providing help defense, LeBron took over to guard Jackson on most possessions as long as he was on the court. It wasn't an easy job for a 38-year-old veteran because Jackson is much younger and bigger than LeBron and already has learned how to exploit his size, power, and athleticism in finishing, especially when he is next to the rim. Besides, LeBron also did a lot of tedious defensive work like switching, help, and boxing out. He is no longer that explosive guy who could deliver a chase-down block on a daily basis 13 years ago, but his defensive footwork, choice of position and timing to draw charges, and decision-making to reach out to deflect shooting and passing are still at the top level of the league. By the way, though I just said that numbers don't display well LeBron's defensive contributions, he is still the Lakers' second-best rebounder, third-best blocker, and third-best stealer. And when I said that LeBron gave away some of his offensive duties, he only seemed less productive compared with himself in the old days. He is still the Lakers' number one scorer in this series. Instead of dribbling to the front court on every position, either charging directly or calling screens to target the opponent's defensive weak link, LeBron played like a classic wing player on many occasions in this series. He only launched individual attack when he saw a can't-miss opportunity, moved the ball quickly for the team's offense to continue instead of to generate assists directly. Of course, he is still unstoppable in transition as long as he wants to be. The Lakers won this series without LeBron being on full speed offensively because they got enough hands to share the duties he left. In the six games, you saw D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves, and Dennis Schroeder dribble to launch offense. Russell dominated Game 6 for the team to have a 40-point big win. Schroeder has been their commander off the bench. Reeves even became the Lakers' number 3 scorer. He always made the right call, but when he was on the move, Reeves definitely got the team something. It might be points, free throws, an assist, or an open shot, but he never finished empty-handed. Rui Hachimura also became a happy surprise for the Lakers. He is their number 4 scoring option and got 20-plus points in 2 games, the second most in the first round, next to only Malik Monk of the Sacramento Kings, who did it 3 times. Hachimura is big and has skillful moves in the middle and low posts. He provides more than catch and shoot to the team as an extra isolation solution, even with poor spacing like the Lakers. As for the Grizzlies, this must be a disappointing season since they began the playoffs as the number 2 seed of the West. To be fair, the team suffered too many injuries, which cost them their best rebounder, Steven Adams, their best backup big man, Brandon Clark, and one of their best three-point shooters, Luke Kennard, before Game 6. Even Morant has been playing carrying a hand injury since Game 1, but that didn't stop him from coming back to drop 45 points in Game 3. There has been always this ironic paradox about the Grizzlies and Morant. Morant is their ace, but the team seemed to be performing even better without him. You could consider it either as a weird way of praising the Grizzlies of their death, or a soft way of criticizing Morant's defense. But the Grizzlies must take both seriously after losing to the Lakers. If Adams and Clark play in the series, they mean more muscles on Davis, but won't change the fact that the team is one of the NBA's worst in spacing. Kennard averaged 21.3 minutes per game before suffering the shoulder injury, and when he was playing, he was even a bigger defensive liability than Morant. As for Dylan Brooks, David Roddy, Xavier Tillman, Santi Aldama, or Tyus Jones, they either hurt the spacing or are poor defenders. Now you see the Grizzlies' problems. They have many guys they can use, but they can't trust most of them to generate balanced performances on offense and defense. Neither can most of them deal with the ball in the way of their Lakers counterparts do. And it's not even the worst, because Brooks and Roddy have very confusing confidence in their shooting abilities, which leads to further damage to the team's offense. Simply speaking, the Grizzlies' lineup is not as deep as they thought or it used to be. That means they will have to rely more on Morant offensively. Bay improved with his performance that he may be able to shoot surprisingly well in one or two games. He is not a qualified third in command of a competitive playoff team yet. As for their second in command, Jackson, he needs to add more weapons to his arsenal and further refine what he already has there. Of course, Morant has no less work to do this summer. He has to become a consistent shooter at the three-point line and a better defender, who at least won't have his offensive dominance and his defensive underperformance offset each other. And that's all for today. Thank you for listening. Please let us know your thought on the topic under this post by CGTN Sports on Twitter. Hopefully, I'll be speaking to you guys very soon next week. See ya.